I'm drinking. Is it? It sure is. Good afternoon. How is everybody? How many of you guys were with us this weekend? I'm trying to see how many people are new. I said I was so glad down at lunch. I said I was so glad to see so many old faces, and I really didn't mean it like that. You know what I meant. I meant to see people that I haven't seen in a while. Please turn with me, first of all, to Isaiah 55. And for those of you who weren't with us this weekend, I'm going to apologize a little bit in advance. You're not ever supposed to get up and apologize, but that's what I'm doing. I do want to talk. I don't have a whole nother complete lesson. I want to talk some about our retreat and where you guys got with it after we left, because a lot of times you have thoughts afterwards, and I'd like to know some of those. But I want us to start in Isaiah 55, please, in chapter 55, verse 1. See if this kind of rings a bell to anything we talked about. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. Which was kind of cool that Robert talked to us this morning about covenant, so we understand. Drop down to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher and the earth, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now turn over to Psalm 86, please. So hear what God was telling us here. His thoughts are not like my thoughts. His ways are not like my ways. Psalm 86, really the whole psalm is great. You know how in the song yesterday we talked about the four things that we do, we bow, we bend, we cast, and we turn? This whole psalm is kind of like that. It talks about a lot of the things that God's doing for us, but at the same time, it tells us what we should be doing back towards Him. But drop down to verse 11, and we actually read this, I think, this weekend. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. So, I'm driving along about 8 weeks ago. We live, for those of you who don't know me, I live in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, which is just outside of Tulsa. I'm born and raised in Dallas, Texas, and my sister lives in Abilene, Texas. So, I just get on a whim that I'm going to go buy some furniture in Abilene. I've decided it's cool to be cowboy now. And so I decided to go down and buy furniture. So I'm driving my car down there, and I'm just tootling along. I think I'm just north of Fort Worth. And I'm in a fairly new car, and you know how you just sing in a way, and I pull into the inside lane to go around a big semi. And there's another semi. Here's a semi. Here's the other semi, and I'm pulling around. So I'm right in between one in front of me and one beside me. And I'm just driving along about 75, 80 miles an hour. The speed limit was 75. And so I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, the truck that was in front of me, I could tell that either something came off of the truck or there was something huge in the road that he had run over. And there was no time for me to respond other than my brain registering I was going to hit something. And there was something, I don't know, big, about this tall, just laying in the middle of the road. It was some kind of metal or something. I had no recourse. I couldn't go into the median. It was deep. I couldn't go to the right. I couldn't slam on my brakes. So I hit it. And immediately, all the warning bells that go off in your car start going off. And you know how you just, and I know you guys are probably used to hitting moose and stuff like that. So that, you know, this may not be a big story to you guys or not. I know, where's Debbie? If Debbie's here, she was telling me about hitting a moose on the way to have her baby. There she is. Yeah. If you haven't heard that story, you need to hear that story. This one makes mine look pretty cheesy. But anyway, so I hit that, and immediately my tire blows out, my front right tire. And I am pretty much at the mercy of the way the car handles at that point. I did some, and luckily I had both of my hands on the wheel, and several different features on my car enabled me to slow down enough and to get off the side of the road, and then I have some kind of tires that you can drive real slow for like 15 miles or something. And anyway, it turned out fine. It delayed my trip about 5.5 hours, and I got to Abilene and all that. But the point I want to make with that story is, just like what we just read in Psalms and in Isaiah, God's ways are not my ways. And there are times that I have to totally, always, but more sometimes more than others, I have to depend on what he's put in place that I don't understand. When I hit that in the road, I didn't understand how those ASV brakes worked and how the tire did this and the, you know, whatever. I don't know all the stuff about that. But anyway, if you ask me what kind of car I have, I'll tell you the color. But anyway, I had to rely on the way that that car handled and the way that the manufacturer made that car to handle in just an instance like that. Now, I did have to rely on some of my ability, too, and I had to be prepared in my mind. And that's what God's telling us. He says his ways are so different from our ways, and we have the opportunity to be more like him and for our minds and our thoughts and our hearts and our spirits to be more like his are. And I hope that's what we kind of did over the weekend a little bit and talked about our quiet times in God or our quietness in the Lord. Tell me something about, well, let me just open it up like this first, and then I'll ask specific questions. Does anybody have anything they want to say, anything they thought about, that they learned, they processed through, and would like to share with us? Yes, ma'am. Jennifer. Right.
And I mean, immediately, I was leaving yesterday, and I got a phone call from my family, and it's a huge chaotic mess at home right now. It's a money power struggle in my family, and the bottom line of what happened is two people who have given their heart, soul, and life into this company, this family-owned company, have been kicked out. They don't know what they're going to do. They've never had plan B. They've never needed to have plan B. This is how they make their money. I don't think I could have handled that. I don't think I would have handled it well. But being with the ladies on the weekend helped me to have that strength to be like, okay, well, let's pray. Because normally I'm
good for you. Good for you. That's one of those, remember we talked about when we don't have the notebook, when we don't have the guidebook, when we've never been there, and we haven't experienced anything, but God has been there. Jesus Christ has been there, and they do have the guidebook and the notebook, how to get through it, and that's when we have to put all of our dependency, remember that word, we have to put all of our dependency on him. We have to admit, not only to ourselves, but also to those around us, that we're not capable of doing this. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? The tax collector had no dependency on God. He didn't need God whatsoever for what he was doing. He went there to check off his box and to show that he was a godly man. No dependence on God, no need for him, and no need to praise him either. So, good for you. Anybody else? What did you guys think about the songs that we learned? Were that some of those new songs to you? Which one touched your heart the most? Do you remember them? We had As the Deer, the new version, kind of. There's a Stirring. Does anybody have their music that we could sing that? Do you guys have your words with you at all? Okay, well, we won't because the... What? Are they in the books? Oh, okay. We don't have the books, so... Okay, well, we won't sing it because it would be me and Elaine and Hey, well, some, a couple other people know it. I think you know it. Okay, so we won't sing that, but yeah, that was an important. Okay, so tell me about your progression of how your thoughts about valuing your quiet time. Did you have any, when we started off, we started talking about how you value that and what is important about it. Do you remember the story we talked about in John 9? It was about the blind man. What was the miracle in his life? Was it his sight returned? It was what? His salvation? It was his changed life. It was him being able to be a part of God's family during this life on earth. That was the miracle. That's what changed. So what he valued out of that encounter with Jesus Christ was something totally different than what the Pharisees valued out of that encounter. What did they get out of that encounter with the blind man, the Pharisees? Nothing, really. All they were trying to do was to trap Jesus. And so you can see, just from the perspective that you're looking at, how you value something differently. So we started off talking about value in terms of quiet, the value of quiet times, talking in terms of rest and peace and tranquility. And then we started working through it, and we sang the song As the Deer. So then how did it come out the other side? Did you have a change in mind about what you value about your quiet time? And if you did, what was it? Now, you guys are going to have to talk because I don't have that much to say. Okay. Yeah. And also, we discussed a little bit about the quiet times being different, coming in different forms. What were you going to say? Okay. Do you hear what she said? Any time that you acknowledge you're with God can be a quiet time. Give me your definition of quietness in God now. This really is kind of important to me. I want to see where you went with this. What? Being with him. Okay. Davina? Okay, being a gentle and quiet spirit. There you go. So that you can hear his still voice. That's right. Remember we talked about whatever we value in it, then that makes us more in tune to when he is speaking to us. And we're more aware of his presence. And being aware of his presence is what makes our value go up. Do you remember what I said about the value that you have is directly proportional to what? The amount of time and the attention that you give to it. So if your quietness in God is not getting a lot of attention right now, you need to, instead of thinking about how to increase your quiet times, you need to start thinking about how you value your God. Because if you value your God, then you're going to pay attention to your quiet times and your quietness in him, and you're going to start being able to work on those. But don't bog yourself down looking for specifics in quiet time. Look at how you value your God. Okay? Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. So. Mm-hmm. You know. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that was Andrea talking about that. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. just being in his presence. I've got to share with you, one of the things that I gained the most out of this series of lessons, and I shared with you a lot of the past year that I've had in my life and what was going on, and one of the best things that I learned myself was telling myself, convincing myself, that I'm not just admitting that God is bigger than this, me not being able to be with him in his presence. That's an easy thing for me to admit. Yes, God, you're bigger than me not having my quiet time like I need to. And that's where I would stop. Okay? You can't stop there. You have to go on and you have to admit. I mean, it's easy for you to say, yes, God, you're bigger than this. But you have got to take that next step and you have to admit that God is loving enough, capable enough, attentive enough to actually draw me into quietness with him. Okay? And when we were talking about how do you get there, how do you do it, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to start. Well, you start with what we just read a minute ago, being that his ways are not like my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts. And not only do I believe, God, that you are bigger than me not having quiet time, but I believe you have the power to draw me into quietness as long as I am what? Seeking him, because we read in 1 Chronicles 28, if you seek him, what? You'll find him, period. There's no ifs and ands and ors in there. If you seek him, you will find him. So personally, that's one of the biggest admissions I had to make in my life, that boy, I was being kind of a wimp and a weenie over here, because I was just saying, well, yeah, you're bigger than this, but anybody can admit that. Even the demons can admit that. But what I believe with all my heart is that if I am seeking you, you will be able to draw me into quietness. You will teach me your ways. My ways will be like yours the more I am in. And I think that's what Tammy was saying. The more I'm in your presence, the more your character becomes my character. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's sing this song for a minute. And then I want you to think about it. Has everybody got the words? And if you don't know it, just jump in when you can. I want you to think about the words to this song, because this truly is one of the songs that has affected my life in the past year. And I told you the other day or yesterday, I want you to envision. I want you to shut your eyes and think about what you would see as we're singing through this. Think about if you were putting yourself in this place, what you would be hearing, what you would be feeling as you drop down on your knees and as you look up. As you feel that crown going on your head, and then you turn around and you lay the crown back at Jesus' feet. Think about all the feelings and thoughts, and then let's talk about it for just a minute. Okay, who's in here that knows it? Oh, good. We got some more. Great. Okay. There's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come? When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? One, is he? what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're seeing, what you're hearing. Okay, think about that. And you can just jump in whenever you want to. Did you read that line that said, "Is that his voice I hear calling?" How do we talk about that? What do we discover about that? If we're wanting to hear God's voice, if we're wanting our ways to be like his, what is it we have to do to be able to be ensured that it's God's voice we're listening to and not Satan's voice or anybody else? We have to be in the Word, okay?
You have to release
your own.
You have to give up yourself.
Yeah, you do.
Because we so many times want to stand on what I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
What I think I should do.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is best for everybody else.
Okay?
So the
I has to be out of it. Do you remember the two scriptures we went to about discernment and insight? Does anybody remember where those were? I hope you do, because I'm trying to think. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 is one of them. Somebody, let's turn over there. And there's a 2 Timothy 2:25, and there's also a Philippians 1. But let's look at Hebrews 5. Remember, this was the ouch verse we read? Verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. That just sounds wrong. Doesn't that sound embarrassing? You need to be past that. If you are a Christian and you are in God's Word like you need to be moving past the milk and into the meat of the Word. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. So consistency is one of the things that we talked about, right? And then do you remember how we talked about the gray areas? Scripture has everything we need for an answer, correct? Yes. Say yes. Yes or amen. It does. It has everything we need. But when we get into those gray areas, and tell me a gray area. Just throw one out. A job. Is this a job I'm supposed to take? Scripture has an answer, but it doesn't say that right now you are to go to work for Schlumberger. That's a company up here, right? Okay. I just threw that out. No advertisements or anything. But you're supposed to go to work for Schlumberger. It doesn't say that. So we have to delve into the gray areas, which is the non-black and white areas. And only the mature can do that. Did you read that there? Only the mature can do that because by constant training, they're able to determine the difference between good and evil. Is that not our job? And the more we are able to delve into that, the more we're able to discern the good from the evil when we get in sticky situations that are not black and white. And I promise you, the longer you're in the Word, the more Satan is going to be throwing at you. He doesn't need to throw black and white issues at me as much as he did 30 years ago because I'm wiser, I've been in the Word more, I have hopefully have more of God's character within my heart. And so he's going to start throwing the tougher issues at me, the tougher issues that I can't just read and say, oh, duh, okay? So let's turn to, what was the other one I said, Philippians or Timothy? Which one is the Timothy one? Y'all have to fill me in on that. Will you read that out for me? 2 Timothy what? 2:25. Okay. Oh, gotcha.
With gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth.
Go ahead and read the next verse.
And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will.
This is the one where we were talking about that how do we know that it's God's voice we're listening to? Because God has a plan for us, right? Who can tell me a scripture that backs that up? Just off the top of your head, it's in the Old Testament, one of them. It's in a major prophet that starts with a J. You guys are so smart. Okay, God does have a plan for us, and he watches over his plans for us. But who also has plans for us? Satan, and that's what we just read, the trap of the devil gets deeper and harder the stronger I grow. The more meat I'm on in the Word, the more his trap is going to be sneakier, and it's going to be more clever, and it's going to hit me in those gray areas. So if I am not practicing continuously and consistently on delving into the Word and saying, this is my God's voice speaking to me, and this is Satan, and I will not listen to you. If I don't understand how to do that, then I'm going to fall more prey to Satan. Now let's go to the one in Philippians. And I believe that was Philippians 1. Yeah, verse 9. And this is my prayer. What do we say about that? If Paul's praying for it, we should be praying for it. That's right. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to what? Discern what is best and what may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Who has a different word there than discern?
Approve.
How do, what does it say? Approve what is... The things that are excellent. Remember we talked about how you guys are all perfectly capable of doing 1,000 things really well? You remember that? You all can put these chairs up like we talked about yesterday, or you can make a dish to bring to potluck, or you can teach a child's class, or you can support your husband or your boyfriend or your son or your grandson. There's 1,000 things that you can do well because you're a woman of God's word. But there's far more fewer things that you can do excellently and that you do best, which is what my version says and yours says excellent. Okay? I have to have the insight and the discernment, which, give me a definition of discernment.
Mine has a footnote that says distinguish between things which differ.
Okay, so you're able to tell. Do you remember that Sesame song? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. You remember that song? Is that really dating me? Okay. My kids learned that. I mean, they'd have a circle and a triangle and a square, and then they'd have a dog bone or something. Oh, well, the dog bone doesn't fit because it's not a shape, so to speak, or whatever. That wasn't a good example. But anyway, discerning, being able to distinguish what is different from all the other things. Okay. Do you understand how that fits into your life as a Christian woman? There are things in this body, and Carol and I were talking about it, and I know Elaine and Penny and I were talking about it, how God puts people in the body so that we do this together, and we come out like this, okay? We don't come out like this, 10, 15 different people. We come out as one, but we all bring our different capabilities. Elaine's husband and my husband are both elders, and you should see them together. They're just a hoot, and they're so different. I mean, even in size-wise, my husband's 6'6", 6'7", David's 5'10". I mean, normal. He's average size, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, my husband's a little overweight. Her husband's more in shape. He's more of a runner type thing. And their personalities are so different. She has one of the most compassionate husbands you will ever meet in a man. My husband has like 1% compassion. Okay? That's just not his strong suit. But you put the two of them together, and my husband's more administrative, and hers is more of, well, let's look at how it's affecting people. What do they come out? They come out like this, because remember the scripture we read about God uses our weaknesses to what? Give strength and more power to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what we have to use to be able to discern what is not only good and evil, but be able to discern what it is I do best. Choose your few things you do excellently, okay, instead of just a whole bunch of things you do well, because you have capabilities that nobody else in this body has that you will be able to do well. And think about when you're able to bring that together, like you guys were working on the decorations, or you guys did decorations, okay? You were kind of like the chief delegator, see? Okay. We had somebody that was in charge of cooking, but you know what I mean. Everybody can find something they do well, and it blends together and makes us one like God wants us to be. Okay, as the deer, do you remember the things that we must do in that song? If any of you have your words with you or anything, what time do I need to stop? Okay. Do you remember the things that we talked about? I don't know if you have your song there, but we bow our hearts, we bend our knees, that's talking about submission and prostrating ourselves before Him. We turn our eyes from what? Evil things, and we cast out our idols. We cast out our idols. I was thinking about that last night. I went to bed a little bit earlier than the rest of them stayed up and played and talked and stuff, and Elaine said she came in later and tried to wake me up, and I was just gone. But I was trying, listen to that, say my prayers to God. And I was thinking about, as I'm in His presence, I got kind of the bowing and the bending part, and I even got the casting away the idols. But I was having a little bit of trouble last night turning my eyes from evil things. And I don't know why, but it was a conscious effort, and I'm a very visual person. I just had to literally think of putting blinders on, so that my head and my eyes and my focus was directly on my God. Because Satan just has so many ways of just bringing little pinging thoughts in there. And so we have to bow, bend, turn, and cast. Do you remember what God did for us in that song? He humbles us. He cleanses our hearts, which is the forgiveness. He cleanses our hands. He purifies our hearts. These are the last two biggies. Do you remember, anybody remember what they were? Protect our souls, and He allows us to seek Him. So as I finish here, I guess out of all the things that I really would want you to get out of this weekend is, if your quietness and your quietness in the Lord and your quiet times in Him is not what you want it to be, believe with all your heart that He is faithful and gentle and loving and powerful and kind enough to draw you into that quietness with Him. But you have to realize He has the power to do that. You allow Him to do that, and He will do it, because He says, "You look after Me, and you will find Me." So I want you to understand, even if you're discouraged about your quiet times right now, He can bring you out of that. Allow Him to do that. Okay? And then I want to tell you all how much that I really appreciate your welcoming back with open arms, and my friend Elaine. And if we come back again next year, we're not coming on a night when there's Chinook winds. So thank you all very much. I love you.
Give it to you for real this time.
Oh, yay!
Thank you.
Is anybody...